Animals. Today, you're home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. In December 2013, the city of Phoenix passed an ordinance that would prohibit pet stores from selling dogs and cats obtained from large commercial breeders. However, the following month, just a few days before the ban was to begin, the city of Phoenix was sued in an attempt to prevent implementation of the ban by the owners of a pet shop, Puppies in Love, owned by Frank and Vicky Mino. Now, as more and more cities are passing laws like the Phoenix ban, opponents are starting to make their voices known. And in part, due to the size of Phoenix, many people are looking to this as a test case. Now, we're going to begin today by taking a deeper look into the Phoenix situation. Now, later we'll be speaking with the owner of two pet shops in California, a remarkable guy who transformed his operation so that he only sells rescued animals and not dogs purchased from breeders or puppy mills. And you know what? The stores are doing great. Now, that's later in the show. Back to Phoenix, where the battle is just warming up. And here to explain, I'm pleased to welcome Chris Green, who is Director of Legislative Affairs at Animal Legal Defense Fund, ALDF. Welcome to the program, Chris.
Thanks for having me. How are you today?
Great. Chris, give us a little background on the Phoenix ban. How was it passed, and what will it do?
So it's a citywide ban that was passed by the city of Phoenix through their city council. So it's a city ordinance, and so it only applies within the city limits of Phoenix itself. And it would prohibit any pet store from selling animals that were sourced from breeders and only allow them to sell dogs purchased from an animal shelter, a nonprofit humane society, or a nonprofit animal rescue organization.
How common are laws like this one around the U.S., Chris?
They're actually becoming more and more common. Big news, Chicago is one of the largest cities to pass such a ban. And I think there's now close to 50 cities, Chicago, Los Angeles, San Diego, Austin, and more than 50 cities have implemented similar policies, and there's several others that are looking at it.
Do these bans accomplish what they say they will? Are they effective?
I think so. I mean, it's pretty much, you know, any economist will tell you that supply-side economics doesn't work. If you just try to only target the puppy mills, the whole point of these laws are to reduce the market for puppy mill puppies. But that's like sort of playing whack-a-mole, because anyone in the middle of nowhere in a forest or wherever can start breeding puppies, and it's very hard for USDA or anybody to track these people down and to go get each one of them. So sort of like narcotics. I mean, if there's a market for narcotics, there's always going to be someone finding a way to provide the supply. So supply-side economics doesn't really work. The only way to effectively address such issues is by reducing demand. So that's exactly what these pet shop ordinances are seeking to do, by reducing the demand for puppy mill puppies by prohibiting stores from selling them.
Makes sense.
For
now,
example,
Chris, this – go ahead.
I was going to say, for example, the case that you're about to talk about, Puppies in Love, the store that's trying to challenge this law, you know, their main store is inside of a mall. So, I mean, the type of customer you're going to attract in a shopping mall probably indicates that they're not that discriminating of a customer, and that's why it kind of exacerbates this problem.
Now, this ban was supposed to go into effect on January 17th, 2014, and as I mentioned, it has been challenged in a lawsuit by the owners of Puppies in Love, which is a pet store, and as reported by USA Today, they are being supported by a number of industry groups, including the American Pet Products Association, the Pet Industry Joint Advisory Council, and the Pet Industry Distributors Association. What are the plaintiffs claiming? What are their objections?
There's several, and as you pointed out, this is supposed to go into effect January 17th, and on January 14th, just 3 days before, this lawsuit was filed in the U.S. District Court in Arizona, and they're actually claiming some constitutional arguments that it is prohibiting, it's an impermissible interference with interstate commerce by essentially prohibiting out-of-state breeders from selling their dogs through pet stores in Arizona. They're also claiming that it's overbroad. And the third count is that it's sort of an equal protection argument, that it's that they're kind of giving a conferring a special benefit on local breeders as opposed to the detriment of breeders who are not local. And so I think the pet industry is fighting this because they want to see more pets all the time, and they're out there to sell. They view these animals as mere products, and they just want to see as many of them sold as possible because that's more dog food and dog toys and all of that will be sold. And also, high-volume breeders have a strong voice in some of these organizations.
Right. Chris, give the listeners a bit of legal analysis. What do you see as the major legal questions in this case?
Well, I'm actually not a litigator. I'm primarily a legislative person. So, but I, like I said, the main arguments here are that it interferes with the Dormant Commerce Clause by having a kind of discriminatory effect by banning local pet shops from selling dogs that are imported from non-local breeders. Their claim is that it effectively prevents out-of-state breeders from having physical access to the market for pure and specialty breed puppies in the city of Phoenix. So, because what the ordinance does, create an exemption for small breeders who sell directly to the public, and also for internet puppies that are purchased via the internet. So, so in-state local breeders may sell puppies. They still have access to the market by being located within the city, but out-of-state breeders, their access, the claim is that their access to the market is restricted by the ordinance, and they're kind of further economically disadvantaged because they now must market separately. And I think that is a pretty big loophole. The internet purchasing is a pretty big loophole in the Phoenix ordinance because people can just purchase puppies over the internet. I mean, that's been a loophole for a while. And the USDA, in fact, just in the past year, the USDA themselves tried to close this loophole because prior to this last year, puppies being sold over the internet were not even regulated by the USDA like all other commercial breeders.
Do you care to make any predictions on what the outcome will be here and around the country?
Absolutely not. Yeah, there's no telling with these things. Anyone who seeks to kind of predict what judges will do is, not someone you should take advice from necessarily.
Right.
Especially at an early stage, too. I mean, once things start moving and once a couple of motions start getting filed and you see how those are being ruled upon, then you can generally get a better idea of how a particular case will go in a particular court. But that doesn't necessarily mean that, the higher court will feel the same way if it's appealed. But I do think, I mean, just I will just tell you personally, as far specifically from the all of these things, in order to interfere, they're not all automatically impermissible. You just have to have a legitimate, valid state purpose and justification for doing so. And I think that does exist. I mean, in the lawsuit, they focus almost solely just on the puppy mill issue, and saying that is this imbalance with the in-state and out-of-state breeders, and that's not enough to justify. But the underlying cause of this ordinance isn't just about puppy mills. In my mind, it's about pet overpopulation. You've got cities and counties that are spending substantial amounts of money every year to care for and often end the lives of millions of dogs and cats in this country every year. And so I believe cities does have a valid purpose in doing what they can to reduce actively creating new cats and dogs that add to that problem. And there's a lot of evidence that shows that a lot of the animals are in shelters that did come through the puppy mill system. In my mind, it's kind of similar to like a mandatory recycling program. If you've got a city that's paying lots of money to bury solid waste in landfills, that city then has a valid objective in reducing that waste, both on the back end by diverting recyclable products from being landfilled, but also by reducing the creation of new waste that would go into the landfill. So In my mind, it's sort of a similar argument. You've got the cities and counties who are spending a bunch of money to run shelters and animal control facilities that are dealing with a massive unwanted pet population. It doesn't really seem to make sense to then allow people to kind of keep breeding more and more dogs and cats to be put into the system.
Very well stated. Chris Green, thank you so much. He's Director of Legislative Affairs at Animal Legal Defense Fund. Thank you so much for your insight.
Okay, thank you so much.
Don't go away. After the break, I'll give you my two cents about puppy mills, breeders, and pet overpopulation.
Childlike, no one understands. Jackknife in your sweaty hands. Some kind of innocence is measured out in years.
This is Dr. Lori Kirshner, and I want to thank you for joining us on Animals Today. Each week, we explore the wide variety of important issues concerning the welfare of animals, how people treat them, and where they fit in our society. From whale protectors on the open seas, to lawyers in court, to scouts helping their local shelter, join me to get the latest on animal welfare news, stories, and events from around the world. And visit us on Facebook to join the conversation. That's Animals Today every week, right here on the station, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, make sure to visit us at animalstodayradio.com, where you can listen to any of our previous shows free. Animals Today brings you the highest quality, most up-to-date information about all animal welfare topics. Much of our support comes from the nonprofit group Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at aianimals.org. That's aianimals.org. And thanks for listening.
Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually. In the U.S., on average, 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at aianimals.org. That's the letter A, aianimals.org.
These days, when I'm in a relationship, I feel like I'm alone.
Like there's no one behind the mask. No voice on the other end of the line.
Are you looking for a car insurance policy totally devoted to you? At Geico.com, you'll find a sympathetic ear, a shoulder to cry on, butterfly kisses, and easy ways to pay your bill and manage your policy. We're waiting with bated breath to help you save money and talk about your feelings. Geico, 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
Table for one?
Right. There's like a 12 of you, miss?
Oh, that's just my back office. They're always with me.
Okay.
With Sage, you're securely connected to your back office no matter where you are, so you can make the sale, send the invoice, and see how it all adds up from anywhere.
They're not going to get out of hand, are they?
Now the power to make confident business decisions follows you everywhere. Use Sage to make your back office as mobile as you are at workfromsage.com. That's workfromsage.com.
Big news. Sprint's offering the hottest deal in wireless. Switch your whole family up to 10 lines to Sprint and get unlimited talk, text, and 20 gigabytes of high-speed data to share for only $100 a month for your whole account. It's double the high-speed data of the other guys for a family of four. Verizon and AT&T charge $160 and T-Mobile charges $100, and they just give you 10 gigabytes. But with Sprint, you get 20 gigabytes. That's two times the data. To make it easier, we'll even buy out your family's contract up to $350 per line. The Sprint Family Share Pack. Only $100 a month for the whole family up to 10 lines, including unlimited talk and text on America's newest network. Simply put, it's the hottest deal in wireless. So come into a Sprint store today.
Ends 9/30/14. Coverage and offer not available everywhere. Subject to credit. New line port in. Excludes taxes, surcharges, roaming, international premium content. Price promo through 2015. After 2015, also pay $15 a month per line access charge. $350 via Visa prepaid card and requires online registration. Comparison is 10 gigabyte high-speed 3 and 4G plans for 4 lines. Other data options available. Prohibited network use rules, prioritization, and throughput reduction applies. Comparison excludes additional 2 gigabyte Sprint and 1 gigabyte Verizon data promos. Restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Animals Today. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. So the Phoenix law prohibiting the sale of dogs and cats obtained from commercial breeding facilities or puppy mills has not yet been implemented due to a suit filed by the owners of Puppies in Love with funding provided by industry groups. Now, you just heard the analysis from Chris Green with the Animal Legal Defense Fund. And, of course, we'll keep you updated as this very important case proceeds. Now, one element of how this case is shaping up is especially fascinating because it pits some big organizations against one another. The HSUS, Humane Society of the United States, has thrown its support in favor of the ban, while industry organizations like American Pet Products Association, the Pet Industry Joint Advisory Council, and the Pet Industry Distributors Association are fighting the ban. Another aspect worth mentioning is how rapidly the tide seems to be turning against puppy mills and how more and more of the general public seems to be somewhat aware that these large-scale commercial breeding businesses are just bad news. This awareness is also reflected in Main Street news reporting. And a good example of this is a recent Fox News TV report that told how more and more pet stores have discontinued selling puppies from puppy mills and have begun selling rescued dogs instead. They interviewed the owner of a Pennsylvania store called We Love Pets, who claimed he purchased dogs from a broker. And they turned out to be so sick that six of the dogs, the puppies, died. Now, as a consequence, this man stopped buying wholesale puppies and converted to only selling animals who were rescued from shelters. So it's great to see these stories on TV. Now, I want to take a few minutes to talk about our country's pet overpopulation problem. And although this hour is primarily about puppy mills and pet stores, I would be remiss to not talk about another large contributing source of our country's pet overpopulation problem: the private individual breeders themselves. Now, the Humane Society of the United States estimates that 6 to 8 million dogs and cats enter animal shelters every year in our country, of whom approximately 3 million are euthanized because there are more pets than there are responsible homes for them. Now, most of us know the simple solution to this tragedy and senseless killing of innocent lives is to adopt from a shelter or rescue and not buy from a breeder, also to fix our pets. Now, did you know that 25% of dogs in shelters are purposely bred? Now, I'm going to say that again. Approximately 25% of dogs in shelters were originally created by breeders and puppy mills. So at a time when we're killing so many dogs and cats, we have these animals being brought into this world purposely by the puppy mills and breeders, many of which end up in the shelter at some point in their lives. First, to summarize about puppy mills. Approximately 10,000 puppy mills are still operating in the U.S., and these are inhumane, overcrowded, dirty facilities that produce sick and diseased animals that largely end up in pet stores or are sold online and to individual sellers. Now, with respect to breeders, I think we as a society are much too easy on the breeders, who themselves accept no responsibility of having anything to do with the pet overpopulation problem. Breeders claim they love dogs, but we all know that they are in the business to sell dogs for high prices and make a profit. So I would contend that the reason that these breeders claim they love their dogs is because they are profiting from the sale of their product. And if they truly love dogs in the normal sense of the word, they would not be creating more of them, many of which end up in the shelters at some point in the animal's life and burdening the system. Instead, they would be working with shelters and rescue groups to save dogs. What nonsense for a breeder to claim they love animals or talk about the tragedy of the millions of dogs and cats we kill in our country every year when they are largely contributing to the problem. And I'll tell you, many national animal welfare organizations refuse to criticize breeders. Well, they might criticize backyard breeders or commercial or hobby breeders, but what I'm talking about here are these animal welfare organizations should be criticizing licensed breeders. And in fact, many of them work directly or indirectly with them. And this just doesn't make any sense. You have these groups, these animal welfare groups, on one hand emphasizing the message to adopt, don't buy, the problem of pet overpopulation, and on the other hand, have breeders who are creating and selling animals as part of their team. Oh, it's okay because they're responsible breeders or ethical breeders. What does that mean? That's an oxymoron, responsible breeder. Because they love animals they create and make sure those animals get into loving homes, it makes them responsible? They're still creating lives which are costing the lives of other animals. So these animal welfare organizations say, okay, it's very important for you to fix your pet. Don't allow them to procreate. But it's okay for a so-called responsible breeder to allow their animals to have litters? These organizations should take a stand against all breeding. There's absolutely no justification for anyone to breed animals when we're killing so many. So although many animal welfare organizations might give a pass to these breeders when they talk about the causes of the pet overpopulation problem in our country, I will not. And I'll tell you, it's not just the breeders and the puppy mills, but anyone who buys from a breeder is contributing to our overpopulation problem. Because remember, every dog or cat the breeding industry or a person brings into the world means one home fewer for a dog or cat desperately waiting in a shelter or getting by on the streets. So you as a consumer, you don't want to support this industry by buying from breeders. That just encourages them to stay in business and create more animals, which fuels the entire problem. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Laura. How are you?
Cool down a little bit, man.
I know. I think you have expressed yourself very, very nicely there in the distinctions that you have from some of our leading groups around the country. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I want to remind everyone you're listening to Animals Today Radio, and we really would love you to visit us at animalstodayradio.com. Visit us on Facebook as well, and become our friend there. Join the discussion. And visit our main sponsoring group, Advancing the Interests of Animals, AIAnimals.org. And send us a little donation. Help keep us flowing along here, okay? How's that, Lori?
Great. That sounds great. Okay. Thanks for the nice pitch, Peter. Okay, don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner from the animal welfare organization Advancing the Interests of Animals. Do you ever wonder what you can do to be nicer to animals or to help them? Here are a few things you can do to show your appreciation to our furry friends. You could donate to or volunteer at your local animal shelter. Walking the dogs and playing with the cats is a meaningful way to make a difference in the lives of homeless animals. You could be a foster parent. If you have the extra time and space, becoming a foster parent is a wonderful way to take some of the burden off our overcrowded shelters by giving an animal a loving place to live until their forever home is found. Increase your appreciation for wildlife by providing a welcoming space for butterflies, hummingbirds, and other creatures, or by simply driving cautiously through areas populated by wild animals such as deer. You are acting with compassion. These are only a few ideas to encourage you to continue thinking about your personal kindness towards animals. This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. Please visit us online at AIAnimals.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS that you can't pay? Call now for immediate help. 866-657-8517. At Community Tax Relief, we help consumers like you. If you take on the IRS alone, you could be facing levies, liens, even wage garnishments, personal or business tax issues. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, they will aggressively come after you. Protect yourself and your family today. from what the IRS can do to you. Call now, 866-657-8517. They can freeze your bank account, even garnish your wages. Our expert team of tax professionals can solve your tax problems once and for all. Call now for a free 5-minute tax debt analysis. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517.
Geico presents Strange Savings Stories. Ken Marcus was making a pastrami sandwich when he noticed an odd pattern on a slice of pumpernickel bread, one that spelled out Geico. Ken found himself visiting Geico.com, saving hundreds of dollars on car insurance with great discounts. Later, Ken felt conflicted whether or not he should eat the slice of bread that saved him so much money. But he was so hungry.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Table for one?
Right. There's like a 12 of you, miss?
Oh, that's just my back office. They're always with me.
Okay.
With Sage, you're securely connected to your back office no matter where you are, so you can make the sale, send the invoice, and see how it all adds up from anywhere.
They're not going to get out of hand, are they?
Now the power to make confident business decisions follows you everywhere. Use Sage to make your back office as mobile as you are at workfromsage.com. That's workfromsage.com.
If you're struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? Fast Track Student Loans can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop collection calls, and stop seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and get your student loan payments down to as little as $25 a month based on what you can afford to pay. One quick 10-minute call could help you solve your student loan problems. So call right now. Not available in all states. Payments may vary based on income.
800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. That's 800-685-0129.
Who let the dogs out?
Welcome back to the show. So if you're a pet store owner, what does it take to motivate you to change your business model from one in which you purchase puppies and sell as many as possible to one where you try to work with rescued animals exclusively? And if you decide it may be something you want to do, how difficult is it and how large are the risks? Well, Renee Karapetian, owner of the store Pet Rush in Glendale, California, and now the Pet Rush Inn in Burbank, has done just that. And he's here to explain his evolution. Welcome to the program, Renee.
Good. Hi, Lori. How are you today?
I'm great. Renee, I learned that you have become sort of a model for converting conventional pet stores to ones that provide rescued animals to customers. Tell us your story. What were you doing before, and how did you change?
Well, before, I was selling puppies that, without my knowledge, I should have paid more attention, but I was getting dogs from puppy mills. And this all started about 4 years ago when a volunteer from another organization, a nonprofit organization, came to my shop and asked me blankly, where do I get my dogs from? And I told her I'm getting from this one broker that gets it from these breeders, AKC breeders. And she told me very nicely, please look into those breeders, not the broker, but the breeders themselves. And you will see they are coming from puppy mills. And at that time, believe it or not, even though I was a pet store owner, I had no clue what a puppy mill was. So I looked online, I found these breeders, and I was shocked when I found out these, yes, absolutely were puppy mills. And I'm supporting this industry that shouldn't be in business. So as soon as I saw that, I called that lady back. I said, well, she gave me her phone number. She was pretty assistant. I asked her, what can I do? And she said, well, I'll put you in touch with this other nonprofit, the bigger organization. Maybe they can help you get some puppies in your store. So I called them. They put me in touch with another rescue, a local, well, not so local. It was about 45 minutes from my shop at Riverside County shelter, which is a very, very high-kill shelter. And I talked to this officer, and this lady told me, why don't you come on down and see what we have, and we'll see what we can do for you. Now, keep in mind, this was a 45-minute drive from where my store was to this place. But I did, thinking, let me at least go check out. It won't hurt. So I go down there. She greets me. She takes me all the way to the back of the shelter. She takes me to this one room that has these six puppies in this little cage. So I'm looking at the puppies, thinking to myself, I can sell these. They look pretty healthy. They're about 4 to 6 months old, nice-looking puppies. I can sell them. So I start asking her questions because at that point I had no clue what a rescue was, how to do rescues. So I ask her, well, how much are these puppies? And she tells me that $35 each for you to take them through the rescue. I said, fine. How about if I want them vaccinated? Well, they're already vaccinated and still $35. So I asked her, how about microchips? She said, they're already microchips. Well, I had to ask, are they spay and neutered? She said, yes. And oh, my God, I'm paying $35 a dog for a dog that's already spay and neutered, microchip, and vaccinated? She said, yes. So, of course, as a business-minded person, I took those puppies, brought them back to my shop. In a week period, I sold also all those six puppies. So I called this lady back thinking, well, this probably was a one-time deal. I called her back and said, I asked her, do you have any more puppies? She said, of course, we always have dogs. But I had to ask her, why do you have six puppies? Why did you take me all the way to the back of those six puppies? Because on the phone beforehand, she told me she has a ton of puppies. And she said, well, those were the ones that were scheduled to be euthanized that day. And that's what really it just made me feel like, oh, my God, I just saved those dogs' lives. And that's where pretty much all started with me and the rescues.
Renee, I understand you speak to groups and store owners considering adopting the humane store model. What are their biggest fears or concerns?
Well, of course, the biggest fear is that once they sell, because they rely so highly on that one product, which is the sales of the puppies, once they do that, how they can support or stay open. So what I tell them is that you cannot rely on one product, no matter what business you do. So you have to rely on other products and services. So some of these stores, we have them, we convince them to bring in services to compensate for the sales of the dogs. And others, through their community, by putting the word out that they have these rescues, believe it or not, more people like to support family-owned small businesses once they realize these businesses are doing rescues. Okay?
Very good. And Renee, I know you were instrumental in passing the ordinance in Glendale to ban the reselling of dogs and cats in pet stores, and now you're working on a ban in Burbank as well. Is that correct?
Well, actually, it was passed. We passed both cities. I started in Glendale. I literally approached a city council member, and I told them about the problem that we had in the city and the community, and with the help of that one particular council member, he was able to bring it up to city council and was unanimously passed in the city of Glendale. And then next we moved on to the city of Burbank, the neighboring city, and we actually did pass in Burbank as well. So now both cities, all pet stores are not allowed to have puppies or kittens for sale. They're only they can do rescues from reputable rescues.
Very good. Renee Karapetian, owner of the store Pet Rush in Glendale, California, and now the Pet Rush in Burbank. Thank you so much for coming on Animals Today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, Lori.
Hi, Peter.
Lori.
You know, wonderful points that Renee brought up. And one additional point I want to emphasize is the lessons to children in particular that they learn when they know they've saved a life instead of buying a dog that has been bred just to sell.
Yeah, very, very powerful sort of thing.
Yeah. And, you know, going back to our previous guest, Chris Green with ALDF, Animal Legal Defense Fund, and talking about the Phoenix law prohibiting the sale of dogs and cats obtained from commercial breeding facilities or puppy mills, and the suit filed by the owners of Puppies in Love, a pet store, with funding provided by the industry groups. What are the consequences, do you think, Peter, if this ban is upheld?
The ban is upheld, so the in general, okay, so Chris did mention there's going to be a lot of twists and turns along the way here.
Right.
But let's imagine that a situation where the ban just goes along. Well, it's very important because, you know, a lot of other communities and towns are sort of holding back. There are bans being written. There are even bans ready to be passed or considered in many other cities. There's, for instance, in Tucson and in Florida, other communities in Florida, waiting to see what's going to happen here because this is a big one.
Right.
So this will be a key thing. But let's say it is passed, then you're just going to see him flourish. And of course, I guess it'll need to be upheld on appeal. And who knows how high this can go if there are really constitutional issues at stake here. And me being the constitutional scholar that you know I am, this can really be a long, protracted, and very important sort of legal process.
Absolutely important. This could be a milestone.
Yeah.
This could be wonderful and a wonderful trend moving forward.
I love how the lawyers use these legal analogies, though. And you know, it sort of reminds me of this and the recycling that he mentioned, which
yeah.
seems very apropos.
And it
sure
does.
The logic and the style of persuasion is fascinating sometimes, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Now, if the ban is struck down,
okay.
then,
you know
we're out of luck here.
Yeah, so I getting the feeling it's probably not going to be just completely nixed. And then let's say it is. I'm optimistic. I think that through the efforts of lots of people, including Renee, that people are coming around and that the goals will be achieved maybe a little more slowly, but through other avenues.
So, Peter, what's your guess what the other cities will do if this ban is struck down?
Yeah, well, I think if the ban is struck down, it's going to sort of throw a wet blanket on a lot of things.
Yeah.
Right? But the communities, I think, will and people will take the torch and continue. And look at the lessons from Renee in his shops and his experience here in California. I mean, that's really powerful. A guy really got into the business not knowing the dark side, learned it, converted everything, took a chance, exercised his entrepreneurial skills, developed a hot business, got the support of the community, got people coming out saying, we love your small store and you are providing these rescue animals. We like that. He had to open up a second store in Burbank. Then he added services. He's got products. He's got boarding. He's got training.
And consulting with store owners who are considering adopting the humane store model. That's wonderful. Okay, great. Thanks, Peter. Don't go away. More with Animals Today right up next.
Thank you. As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at aianimals.org. That's the letter A, I, animals.org.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Attention homeowners, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I have some important information for you regarding the U.S. government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. We've told you about HARP in the past, and more than 3 million homeowners have already taken advantage of this money-saving program. But there are so many more of you who could be saving hundreds of dollars every month on your mortgage. And Quicken Loans is here to help you save your money. The home loan experts at Quicken Loans fully understand the HARP guidelines. If you weren't HARP eligible in the past, new guidelines could mean that now you are. Give us a call and we'll give you a Quicken Loans mortgage review. It's simple and easy. And for 4 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Call 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. Or go to quickenloans.com for a mortgage experience that's engineered to amaze.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Payment example excludes taxes and insurance. Calls for cost information. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Breathe it in, kid. Clean, fresh air thanks to these new air handler filters. They're more energy efficient, hold more dust, and are stronger than ever. And Grainger's got over 3,000 different styles and sizes to choose from. Just ordered a new batch from Grainger.com today. I love oxygen, kid. And this facility's got some great AO2. I'm breathing easier just thinking about these air handler filters. Get some today. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, click Grainger.com/air handler, or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Are you concerned about the effect bug repellent chemicals have on your family's health? Now there's Cedarside, an organic bug spray. Cedarside carries a suite of pest control products made from all natural cedar oil. They kill and repel a variety of bugs, yet they're not at all harmful to people, pets, or the environment. To order, go to cedarside.com or call 800-842-1464. 800-842-1464. Cedarside, effective pest control that's safe for people, pets, and premises.
Welcome back to Animals Today. Hello, Peter.
Hey, Lori. How you doing?
Good. What's in the news these days?
You know, the Louisiana SPCA has this a great transport program. That's their way of sort of dealing with their pet overpopulation issue. And they've really developed this to a very nice extent. And they are shipping via the roads through a special trailer, and I'm showing you the picture of this amazing vehicle now.
Wow. Beautiful.
Thousands, literally thousands of animals out of the New Orleans area to their partners in Atlanta, in Kentucky, in Washington, in South Mississippi, in Richmond, and all over the place, and they are seeking more partners. So far, they've transported 2,278 animals. Excess animals out to get adopted to areas that need them.
So really the goal is to transport these animals from shelters like in Louisiana that are possibly high kill shelters,
That's
low
right.
adoption rate, to
right.
areas and shelters that are that need the animals, that are in demand for them and that are no-kill shelters.
That's right. That's exactly right. We forget the sort of regional variability in the pet overpopulation crisis, and some places need animals.
Right.
And some places, particularly you know some of these larger southern cities, just have got too many. And this is, I love this as a way to, as a not only a little relief valve, but a very well developed mechanism. And you look at the picture of this van, there's beautiful imagery on it, and it's outfitted with air conditioning and video monitors, and the drivers follow all the regulations, and they come. The animals have their health certificates, and they go through a veterinarian health exam before they're transported. It's just completely fleshed out system. It's really, really great. Now, it's not cheap. Each transport, according to the SPCA, costs about $8,000 per time.
Yeah.
And so that's about $150 per animal on average. But they've got lots of support, and I just imagine it's just a wonderful thing. I'm very excited. Communities can adopt this.
Yeah, they can adopt it. If the resources are there, the transport programs can be so effective in saving lives.
Yeah, yep. And some snake news, you know, did you hear about the snake on the loose?
Oh, what city? Not in Palm Springs, California, right?
Thousand Oaks, California.
Okay.
Okay, a cobra was discovered on the road. It was this albino monocled cobra, so it's white and it's got sort of these eyes that look like it's wearing a little monocle. And it was pretty large, found in a semi-rural neighborhood, and it was at least spotted there. And then the hunt was on, quote-unquote hunt, because they needed to figure out where this snake was, right? And so after about 4 days on the loose, they were able to find the snake. A couple of snake aficionados, sort of amateurs, were able to locate it, and animal control came and delivered the snake to the zoo, to the Los Angeles Zoo, for evaluation. And it raises a lot of questions. Number one, what is the snake doing, this particular exotic snake, right, doing in the suburbs of Los Angeles? So presumably it's somebody's pet.
Got loose.
Or was even released, number one. Number two, what other animals does this individual have
right.
that could possibly get out? Number three, what are the chances that this animal is licensed? This is an exotic animal. You're not supposed to have this unless you have a permit. Chances are not permitted, not chipped. So it just gives you a little peek into the world of people who have exotic pets that are potentially dangerous, who shouldn't have them.
Right.
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 Now, this snake, just to add one more wrinkle, and we'll let you know what happens, actually was came to attention when it bit a dog. So the dog is fine. The dog was not killed. The snake has got very highly dangerous venom, and it can kill a person in short order if it injects the venom. So the question is, did the snake have its venom sacs removed? So it's a pet, okay? Or perhaps it bit without injecting, which they are also known to do. I didn't know that. Just a little love bite, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, interesting.
So we'll find out at the at the zoo, I'm sure they will tell us what the story is about this snake. I have a feeling they're never going to find out where this guy. What is it about people and their reptiles anyway?
Yeah, and like you said, most likely this snake got out, got loose, or the person was just too tired of handling a snake.
Yes.
Not too big for his household.
But it seems like every day, oh, my snake got out.
Right.
Another story, my snake got
another
out.
Another story, I know.
It's like, who's making, there's this state in northern India, pardon the pronunciation, Himachal Pradesh. Okay, that's a state in northern India. They have, their high court has just banned animal sacrifice in the state. Interesting. They've got this, you know, centuries-old tradition of animal sacrifice every year in the name of worship, right? They are into goats, so they have these gory goat slaughtering festivals that take place in the winter. Often, scores of goats are butchered in a single day to appease village deities. Well, finally, the high court has banned this. The bench said, no person will sacrifice any animal in any place of worship. This includes adjoining lands and buildings. The court also observed, a startling revelation has been made as thousands of animals are sacrificed every year in the name of worship. Sacrifice causes immense pain and suffering to innocent animals. They cannot be permitted to be sacrificed to appease a god or deity in a barbaric manner.
That's fantastic news.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you never know.
Because we do hear about these ridiculous traditions, right? Culture, traditions, whatever you want to call it, where they're sacrificing animals senselessly, needlessly.
Well,
in the name of tradition, but it
is. You have to appease the deities.
Okay, well. Well, that's great. Thank you, Peter.
Okay, you're welcome.
And thank you for listening to Animals Today. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner, encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.
Opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.